Let's go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as God's word is taught, truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? Make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now Paul is talking to Timothy and he's saying, and that from where you set out as a what? Saint. Are we together? Yeah, who is the spiritual father of Timothy? Paul, right? Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, not from when he was born, right? When he came into the faith. So, and from when he set out as a saint, he has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He now says in the next verse, he now says all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. The word they're given by inspiration is the word theophanitos, right? It's a word that speaks about inspired of God. Theo there means God. Yeah, theophanitos is inspired of God. Now remember, scriptures are inspired by God in human language. Are we together? Yeah. So the Spirit of God inspired scriptures, but in human language. So God communicates his word, his knowledge, his truth in human language. So the understanding of human language you have determines the degree of your explanation or degree of your explanation of what God has to say per time. Are we together? That's why when you say tongues are interpretation. So the words you will use in your interpretation are words in your vocabulary. Did you get that? So it says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable. The word they're profitable is the word advantageous for doctrine. The word their doctrine means what? Teaching. Right? They are advantageous for teaching. They are advantageous for what? Teaching, then for reproof, for correction, then instruction in righteousness. The word the instruction in righteousness there speaks about what? Training in what? Righteousness. Look at Luke's Gospel 24 quickly. Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, all the prophets have spoken, where would they be found? Genesis to Malachi. What did Paul call that? Holy Scriptures. Are we together? So, a good way to read that can be what? O fools and slow of heart to believe the Holy Scriptures. Are we here? O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophet has spoken, into brackets, the Holy Scriptures. Because at this time, when the prophet had spoken, the books he will be referring to will not include Matthew, will not include John, will not include Paul's writing. Paul was not even, you know, in ministry at this time. Are we together? So when Paul now says all scriptures are given by inspiration, that will exclude Timothy. Is that true? It will be Genesis to Malachi he had heard from time. So Jesus now says in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. Then beginning at where? Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went back to the writings of Moses. Are we together? Then the prophets, then he explained himself from those writings. Are we together? So it means that as believers, we must go back to the writings of Moses and the prophets to see the explanation of Jesus. How did Jesus see what he saw? Do you understand? So how did Jesus see that the seed has to be the seed of the word before he gave a parable? It means that there is a bias a Bible student must have in viewing scriptures. So what is the bias? The bias we have is who Christ. Christ is the sentiment of the believer. Are we together? Christ is the sentiment. Christ is the glasses by which we read the writings of Moses and the prophets. Because in looking at those glasses, you see what God's intent has been from time. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it means that we'll go back to Genesis, go back to the writings of the prophet, and see what they've been talking about. Now, in recent time, we've paid attention to what you call the what? Ten commandments. And we said the word ten commandments was used by Moses only 3 times. Right? And the word commandments was used severally. Remember that? So, ten commandments, as you, so anytime he teaches about ten commandments, he's teaching about what? Specific dabars, words. The word their commandment is dabars, words. So, those words were about something particular. Are we together? So, when we went back to Exodus chapter 20, we saw the things that Moses wrote. And you know, arguably, you could count them to be more than ten. Hello? Is that true? Arguably, you could count them to be more than ten. We also saw that Moses did not number the commandments. But the disciples or people reached out to him rather and asked him, that's Jesus, what is the great commandment? Look at Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22, 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. What it says there? It says, Master, look at verse 35. Then look at verse 34. But when Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, are we together? They're trying to try him. They're trying to test him. Paul wasn't a lawyer, right? Have I spoken about that before? It says, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked. Verse 36 now says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Are we together? Where do you suppose they were reading from? Where do you suppose they were asking their question from? The writings of Moses and by extension the prophets. Are we together? So that's Exodus, so to say. Yeah, Exodus chapter 20, we saw that. What did Jesus say? Jesus said unto them, verse 37, thou shalt what? All thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. The word there first is what? Proton, right? Right? And rather is used better as what? That which sets the pace of others to follow. Are we together? So look at verse 39. And the second, right? So in as much as you read it as number one and number two, the word there second actually deals with subsequently. It implies subsequently or by extension. So it says subsequently is like, so the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me ask you a question. When Moses will give all the commandments to the people, will it be exclusive to some people? Let me say that again. When Moses will give them those commandments to the people, will that commandment be exclusive to some people? Okay. When Moses will give that commandment to the Israelites, will that commandment be exclusive to some Israelites? Are we together? Yeah. So it means this. So it means that if Moses says thou shalt not kill, listen to this. If Moses says thou shalt not kill to everybody, and he kills, what is Moses' instruction? Thou shalt not kill. If he kills a guy's brother, what is Moses' instruction to the guy's brother? You see that? Does it validate the fact that what he did, which is killing, is against the law? Right? It doesn't validate the fact that what he did is right. What he did, was it against the law? Was it against the instruction, thou shalt not kill? The fact that he killed, does that mean that the instruction for the person's brother who he killed will change? So to mean that it will be the same instruction to both the killer and to the person whose brother or sibling was killed. Are we together? So go to Luke. Look at Luke 6. Look at Luke chapter 6. So Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Now, for starters, we will see something very important. We will see that, you know, we said that God is the chief love worker. Is that true? Yes, is that true? Is that are we here? Yes, God is the chief love worker that initiates what? Love. in the initiation of God's love, what do? We respond to him in worship to him, yeah? And by extension, we what? Love to our neighbors. So look at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Dear saints, if somebody does evil to you, what is God's instruction to you that evil was done to? Love. Right? So it means that there will never be a time where walking in love will be considered as wrong. Are we together? You know, some of us think we are very important, that whoever we hate, God will stop associating with them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. See, your dislike for somebody doesn't make God dislike the person. Look at, I say unto you, love your enemies. Look at verse 28. It says, bless them that what? Now, let me ask you a question. If you curse me, what should be the instruction to me? Let me ask you a question. You that curse me, what was the instruction to you? Bless. Are we together? So, you disobeying doesn't mean I should disobey. So, it means that in your disobedience, the moment I disobey, I've done what you can call a greater evil. Are we together? So it means, look, so what you now say. So it means that we don't respond to man on man's level, or we don't respond to man based on what man does to us. Let me show you it better. Look how it now says. He says, pray for them which despitefully what? Use you. God is the chief love worker who instructs that you should pray for them that despitefully use you. So look at it. Some people are very interested. They say the Bible says pray for your enemies, but it doesn't give you the prayer point. Are you without understanding? Don't you know that when they say pray for somebody, the person is on your side? He doesn't say pray against. It is pray for. He say, no, God says you should pray for anybody, but he didn't tell you the kind of prayer. I don't want to choose the prayer. Or God, he already told you that bless those who curse you. He says, pray for them which despitefully use you. See verse 29. And unto him that smited thee on one cheek, offer also the. What, you know, that doesn't mean that when they slap you, you turn the other side. They've not wired you slap before. If they wire you slap, say, you will not be able to bend the neck back to the place for them to touch you and slap you. Yeah, what is he really saying? Don't respond to man with teeth for tat. Are we together? Yeah, so in your turn, when it means turn your face to the other side for them to slap, it just means don't respond with what has been given to you. Now, when he says don't respond, it doesn't mean change your response, but don't let it be like what they gave you. Pastor, he slapped me, but I punched him back. Bible says what? You should not respond with what they gave you. So that's why he didn't slap back. Are we together? So he says, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. He now says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them what? Likewise. Look at verse 31. Let's read verse 31 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at verse 32. 1, 2, 3, go. If you love only them which love you, he says, what thing have ye? What's the difference between you and a sinner? Because a natural man knows to love someone who loves him. But because we are supernatural men, hallelujah, we do unto what the natural expects. The natural man or the natural mind expects that we love only those that love us. The supernatural man is expected of us that we love those that hate us. Are we together? And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think of you? For sinners also do the same. If you lend to them who you hope to receive, what think of you? Look at verse 35, 1, 2, 3, go. For he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Look at that again. Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. What does children of the highest mean? It means that in your work, you associate your work with his work. What is his work? His work is that he is good and kind unto the thankful and to the evil. So God doesn't do evil to someone because the person is evil.
What does man teach? Do evil to them that do evil to you. What does God teach? Do good to them that do good, do evil to you. So God doesn't relate with man because man is thankful. The concept of high praise is when you praise God for what he has done, you will praise, he will do more. No, God doesn't do to you because you thank him. Look at it. He says he is good and kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Dear saints, it means that God is always perpetually good to a man who is evil. Did you get that? A man who is evil might not be able to receive from God. But God, if you want to throw God anywhere, what will he do to that man which is unthankful? He is kind. Why is God called Father? Because his DNA is in us. So be ye kind as your Father is kind. So in looking at the kindness of God, we see how kind we can be. Amen. In looking at how good God is, we see how good we can be. The natural man expects we do evil to those that do evil to us. The supernatural man expects that what? We do good to them that do evil to us. Are we together? So he now says what? Be ye therefore merciful. Look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So if someone does evil to you, can I tell you to be merciful to that person? Yes. Why? Because your Father is that way. So in seeing what your Father can do, you see what you can do. Amen. Amen. In seeing what your Father possesses, you see what you can do. In seeing what your Father can do, you see what he can. So if I want to teach you that you are merciful, what do I teach you? I teach you that God is merciful. Amen. If I want to teach you that you are kind, you are able to forgive, what do? I teach you that God is kind. God forgives. Now look at the next verse. He now says what? Verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Dear saints, was he talking about money? All the verses we read, was it about money? So it's wrong practice to use that verse for offering time or giving time. How do you just suppose Jesus is teaching something as vital as love work? He just brings money inside. How many of us have given and has given unto us? So when he says give, he is teaching of an ideal situation. What is expected from man? You give what? Forgiveness. You give what? Love work. Not give money. He didn't mention money at all. He's talking about be merciful, be kind, be loving. Your Father is this, yet he's saying give. See, look at it. He clearly tells you, gracious Father, he clearly tells you that God is one who gives kindness even though you don't give to him. Why will he now immediately teach that give so it shall be given unto you? No, there's a principle of giving. Very few Christians can do what many unbelievers can do. So there's no principle of giving. We are to give as an end in itself. So think about what he's teaching. So when he says give shall be given unto you, what does that mean? It means that ideally when you give forgiveness, man gives you forgiveness. That's why he says shall men give into your bosom. That man is not saying that it's not God that will give, it's men that will now multiply your pocket. Or God, no. Are we together? So he says be ye kind, be ye merciful as your Father is. So in seeing Jesus, we see ourselves. Hallelujah. Saying, seeing Jesus, I see myself. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Look at verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom. What does spirit of wisdom mean? The revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. So the spirit of wisdom can better be the wisdom of the spirit that is the revelation and the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. So let me ask you a question. Is he saying that the spirit of God may give unto you the ability to do something? Or to know something? Is it to do or to know? So look at it. Look at it again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and the revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being what? That you may, is it have? That you may have? That you may have? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is it that you may have what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? That you may what? That you may know. Look at verse 19. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he what? He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. So, why do you suppose Paul is praying that we may know?
Because it is your knowing that influences your doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is your knowing, you know, like I would usually say, a man cannot live above his understanding of his creator. So if you see your creator as one who does it for that, you will eventually become one who does it for that. If you see your creator, who is one who is kind to the unthankful and the evil, you eventually become that way. Hallelujah. So in seeing Jesus, we see ourselves. So Paul says that we should pray. He says, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in your prayer, that you may know what you have. Hallelujah. Say, I have the ability to forgive. Say, I have the ability to be kind. I have the ability to be merciful. So it means that in what Jesus has done for us, we need to pay attention to it so that we will know what we can do. Hallelujah. So if you say, I have a father that will never ever fail me, it is for you to see an example not to fail your neighbor. Did you see that? Did you see that? Oh God, you are merciful. He's talking about his mercifulness. You see how merciful you are. So it means that there is nothing that cannot be forgiven. Look at 1 Peter quickly. Look at 1 Peter 2 verse 21. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. Look at 1 Peter 2 21. See what it says there. 1 Peter 2 21. See what it says there. It says, so let's read that. 1 Peter 1 22. 1, 2, 3, go. Or 21. Were ye called? Leaving us an example that ye should. Did Christ suffer? Was Christ despitefully used? Was Christ betrayed? Was Christ rendered? Was Christ backstabbed? What did Peter tell you about that? He leaves for us an example that we should what? Follow his step. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of what? Another. Look at, let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not what? Let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For evil, or railing for railing, but contra wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Not rendering evil for what? Evil. So when Bible tells you don't render evil for evil, do you think it's abstract? No. We've seen Jesus who did not render evil for evil. Are we together? So in seeing Jesus, we should be like our Father in the highest. Our Father in the sense that in his walk, he doesn't render evil for evil. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that you need to go and reinvestigate all those evils that happened across Genesis to Malachi. It means that there will be actions that happen independent of the Father. Did you get that? Did you get that? You know, there's something called the permissive will of God, the causative, cursive, and all those wills, which, you know, we're explaining days to come. You know, there are some things God permits, doesn't mean he's the one that initiates it. Look at it. If you have a baby on a table, and if you are seeing a baby wants to fall, right? And you've warned him severally, for instance, not to jump from the table. And you see him watching WWE, he now goes to the top of the table and says, John Cena, he not beats his chest, baga, 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 baga. What do you do? The fact that you watch him fall, are you the one that pushed him to fall? A lot of times, people do that because they want the child to learn a lesson. But in the real sense, you are trying to teach the child that he has choices to make. 1 Peter 2 tells you that what? Jesus Christ suffered, leaving for us an example to what? Follow his steps. Chapter 3 now tells you what? Do not be evil, or do not retaliate evil for evil. Hallelujah. So how do we see a man's love for God? We see it for his love amongst men. Or we see it in his love amongst men. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith. Hello, hello, hello. I heard of your faith where? In the Lord Jesus. What did he now say next? So how do you suppose Paul heard of the faith they had in the Lord Jesus? in the love unto all sin. Look at Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 4. Colossians chapter 1 verse 4, quickly. Look at Colossians 1, 4. See what it says there. It says, look at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your what? Okay, hold on. When we read Ephesians 1, 15, faith in the Lord Jesus, how do we see faith in the Lord Jesus? Through your love for the saints. Look at Colossians 1, 4 again. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how is that seen? Of the love which ye have unto all saints. So we see our love for God in the love for saints. Are we together? Look at Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 4. Philippians chapter 1 verse 4. Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Look at verse Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So how do you expect a man's love to abound yet more and more? In his increase and growth in knowledge. So how do I teach you that you are a love being? I teach you are a love being in teaching you that God is a love God. Hello? I teach you that you are a love being in teaching that God is a love God. So in the love of God, we see what? The love we possess and the love we can dispense. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Hallelujah. Are we here? Have you gone home? Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16. So what it says, 1, 2, 3, go. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is walk in the Spirit? Keep reading. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the what? Kingdom of God. Is it saying if you are a believer and you walk in strife, you are not still a believer? No. Paul already taught, and he started accusing them, or rather scolding them, from Galatians 3. Oh, foolish what? Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, you want to complete by the law? So beginning in the Spirit is what brings an end to what you have in the faith. Are we together? So once you believe in the Spirit, you are forever perpetually with the gift of the Spirit. Yeah, so when it says inherit the kingdom of God, you have to read it in view of what? Walking as your Father in the highest, or being like children of the highest, or the Father in the highest. Remember, when Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 6 that if you do good to people that do evil to you, you are walking, or you are being as children of the Father in the heavens or in the highest. Let me ask a question. A man who doesn't believe the Holy Ghost or believe the gospel and receives the Spirit of God, is he part of the children of God? So what makes a man a child of God? Believing in the gospel. So it means that doing good to people that do evil to you doesn't make you a child of God. So it means that when Jesus says that you might be children of the Father in the highest, it means that he's talking about identification of our walk by looking at the example in his what? Walk. So when he now says in, look at verse 22. Let's read verse 22 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, so I taught this on Wednesday. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? Not love, joy. No, the fruit of the Spirit, the word there, fruit, is what? Kapos.
and deals with what? The result or the action. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. In that love, what do we have? Joy, peace, hallelujah, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are we together? Look at verse 25. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the... So a man can live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. So what is walking in the Spirit? Walking in love. Are we here? What is walking in love? Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Back to Ephesians 5 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, the next book. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1. Look at, be ye therefore followers. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry and what? Sin not. Brandon, so please be angry, but don't sin. I beg you in God's name. Please be angry, but don't sin. Jump to verse 31. Look at verse 31. 1, 2, 3, go. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. So he says, put anger away from you. So how can in 4 or 5 verses after, he says, put anger away from you. Yet he says, what? Be angry, but don't sin. Are we together? Are we together? Look at verse 32. Look at Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye what? Now, when Paul tells you be kind to one to another, is it that you should look at the template of the kindness of God? Right? Now, what does Jesus tell you about God in Luke 6? He is kind to the thankful and to the unthankful and to people who do evil. So if Paul tells you be kind, from Ephesians chapter 1, he has already told you that I pray that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see what ye have, that you may know what ye have. Are we together? So when he says, be kind one to another, so it means that, now, he's a believer, for instance, I'm a believer. He says to you, be kind to me. And he says to me, be kind to you. So if you are not kind to me, what should I do to you? Be kind. What is the instruction to me, despite your not being kind to me? Be kind. Are we together? He now says, be kind, be tender-hearted. Hallelujah. Say, be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving what? One another. Forgiving what? One another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven. So can you see, eventually, we see a template of forgiveness in what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he says, be even forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. You see, the Bible was written in chapters and verses. So, you will read chapter 4 into chapter 5. So, he says, forgive one another, even as God has forgiven for Christ's sake. Or, for Christ's sake. Be ye therefore followers of God. As what? As what? Dear children. So you are a dear child who should be a follower of God. Are we together? What does it now say in verse 2? Look at verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And walk in love. 1, 2, 3, go. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and had given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes what? Darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. Glory to God. Look at Romans 12. Look at Romans 12 quickly. Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without what? Dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is what?
which is good. Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly. Is that what Hebrews 13 says? Let brotherly love continue. Right? Hebrews 13, 1. So, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring what? One another. Look at verse 14. Look at Romans 13, 14. Let's read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Bless them which... Okay, hold on. One would have thought that Jesus was saying in that time because he is Jesus. Who is writing Romans? Paul. What does he say? Bless them which persecute you. He now tells you, you know, some people can be stubborn. What does he say next? Bless, oh, not curse. If he has said the first one, has he not passed his message? He now tells you, bless, oh, not curse. Look at it. He now says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that reap. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescends to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your conceit. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Recompense to... You have gone home? Hold on. Romans chapter 12, verse what? 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in all sides. Hold on. Is Paul saying recompense no man evil for evil to all saints? Remember, that would be supernatural man. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
So it means that if he told him do evil for recompense evil for not evil, or recompense not evil for evil, if he does evil to me, what should I do to him? Not evil. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, and bless them that curse you. Are we here? So recompense. I want us to get other translations of that Romans chapter 12, verse 16. But 17. Look at verse 18, please, Biko. Let's read verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. If it is possible, as much as the light in you, live peaceably with all. Are we here? Live peaceably with all men. Look at verse 19. 1, 2, 3, go. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, saith the Lord. You know, I heard of a man that says, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Is it what? Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do you understand? Are you getting it? That means God is saying vengeance is my own. But he's teaching from Moses' writings. So what he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. How does God repay? He does good to evil. Did you get that?
Yes,
so when the Bible says vengeance is mine, I will pay, don't think that when someone does evil to you, you say, I leave you in the hands of God. See, if you are a wicked man, you better do evil back to that person. Because the recompensation God will give to that person is not what you expect. You get that?
Yes,
you get that?
Yes,
that someone does evil to you, I just leave you in the hands of God. If you are thinking I leave you in the hands of God means that you lose your job next week because of God, you are lying. You are teaching anti-scriptures. You are antichrist. Are we together? So, when Bible says vengeance is mine, you should look at God's vengeance. God's vengeance is seen in the fact that he does good to a man who does evil. God's vengeance is in the fact that he does good and is kind and merciful to the unthankful and to those who do evil. So, God doesn't hate a man who does evil. Are we together? So that's why we say, no matter how much you pray for Iraq and people that are disturbing them, people that are taking their seat of power, God will not from the blues. Why? Because his vengeance is seen in the fact that he does good to evil. Let me now show you what he says next. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, do what? Allah Akbar. Is that instructive? Is that instructive?
Yes, sir.
If your enemy is what?
Hungry.
What do you do? Did he say feed him? But God did not say you should put poison. You know, people can be like that. God says I should feed my enemy, but doesn't tell me what I should feed them with. I can put otapiapia inside. I shall obey scripture. So he says, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, what do you do?
For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Oh, gracious Father, what is he teaching? It is in your love work that a man finds the ability to repent. Oh, you're seeing it? It is in your love work that a man finds the ability to repent. Are we together? So you can consistently be dogged in love, and you see a man who seems to be evil come into the reality and walk in love. So how do you heap coals of fire? So it means that when your enemy is hungry, what did God say you should do? Heap coals of fire on his head. How are you doing that? By rendering forgiveness to him, to his conscience. How are you doing that? By what? Doing good to him, by feeding him when he's hungry, by giving him water when he's thirsty. Hallelujah. So you are heaping coals of fire. Look at verse 21. What does it now say? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Overcome evil with what? There is never a time when overcoming evil with good is wrong. At least not from scriptures. Hallelujah. Are we here? Look at Romans 13, the next chapter, verse 8. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the what? Law. Is this similar to what Jesus is teaching? The first commandment and the what? Second commandment. What is it? Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor. So when he says that, what? Oh, no man anything but love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Where is he teaching from? Exodus chapter what? 20. Are we together? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly, look at this, look at this. If there is any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Do you get that? So in your understanding of what God's love does to you, in your understanding of loving God the way he loves you, or by extension, loving your neighbor, having received the love of God, it tells you what to do to your neighbor. Are we together? Are we together? So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that these commandments don't end in thou shalt not kill, steal, or destroy. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying even if the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not slap, what should guide you from slapping? Look at it. He says the entirety is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. Hallelujah. So it means that as saints, we don't do bad to those who do evil to us. Say, I'm born of God. God is full of mercy. I'm full of mercy. Look at Luke 9:51 quickly. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Look at Luke 9:51. Are we there? Are we there? Say, I'm not sleeping. Say, I'm born of God. God doesn't sleep, nor slumber. When I'm hearing his word, when I'm hearing his word, I dare not sleep. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. He says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to where? Jerusalem. Right? And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of where? Samaritans, to make ready for him. Hold on. When Peter was sent to the Samaritans to go and lay hands on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost, is it the same Samaritans that we are seeing in Luke 9? If you look at Acts chapter 9, on Acts 9 and Acts 13, yeah, when it says that having the word of God had been received in Samaria, right? Then after the word of God was received, they now sent Peter to go and lay hands on them so that they can receive the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Is that the same Samaritans that Jesus sent these people to? So look at it. He says, and when his disciples James and John, they saw this, they said, Lord, okay, look at verse 53. And they did not receive him. Who is it that did not receive him? Samaritan. So they did not receive Jesus. So what did he say? Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Look at verse 54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? Where were they reading from? The story of Elijah. God of Elijah,
Send down fire, God of Elijah. What is Jesus showing you here? That the God that answered by fire is not the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because now, who is Jesus? Remember John chapter 1. What is John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word of God. So it means that when you're listening to Jesus, you're listening to the Word of God. Did you get that? Jesus is the Word of God that speaks the Word of God. Are we together? Jesus is the Word, and the Word became what? Flesh. So Jesus, who is the Word of God that became flesh, began to speak the Word of God, or spoke the Word of God. So in seeing the sayings of Jesus, we get clarity on the person of what? The Father. So he says, but he turned, verse 55, and he rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to what? Save them. So God doesn't destroy, but save. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to what? Steal, and to what? Destroy. But I have come to give life, that they might have it what? Abundantly. You know, when they say abundantly, it's not saying, you know, people add money to that abundantly, but it's a great rendition, really. We'll touch that later. Yeah, so that they might have life. Hallelujah. Are we here? Have we gone home? We are here, right? Do you want to go home? Say yes, no. So, what is God saying? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is the vocabulary of God. In looking at Jesus, we see what God expects of mankind. So, Jesus came as a man, 1 Peter tells us, to show us a suffering and leave for us an example in his sufferings. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you something in Philemon quickly. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon chapter 1. Look at Philemon. Philemon. Someone said it's Philemon, right? Is it Philemon? Anyone the Spirit leads you to accept. Look at Philemon chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved brother, or beloved, and fellow laborer. Look at verse 2. Let's read verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And to our beloved Appia, right? And Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Verse 3. Grace, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at, let's read verse 4 downwards quickly. We're reading to the end, though, so don't be tired. we are slow when we get to that verse 3. Look at verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. I thank my God, making mention of thee. Prayer. Yeah, verse 5. Now, in Ephesians where we read, how did Paul see their faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Their love towards saints. In Colossians 1, 4, 5, how did Paul see it? Their love towards saints. How did Paul see Philemon's love for God? Look at it. Hearing of thy love and faith, which has towards the Lord Jesus. So can it be, I mean, towards all saints? So we see your love towards God, towards fellow men. So if there's a man who you cannot forgive, it means that we are seeing your slant in your response to what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. So it means that Philemon was known as a love worker. Philemon was known as someone who people's bowels, or who people receive love. Yeah, he said, cause the bowels of the saints. So Philemon was one who gave in love to the bowels of people. Can we say Philemon was a giver? Yeah. Look at it. Paul would not have been talking about the love of Philemon if all Philemon was doing was, I love you. Mwah. I love you. Mwah. Paul will see the love of Philemon in his actions towards the saints. Are we together? So when he says, wherefore, though verse 8, I might be much bold in Christ Jesus to enjoy thee that which is what? Convenient. So can we say Philemon had money? Yeah, because it's not when you have, you give. You are laughing. It's not when you have, you give. So can we say Philemon was one of those rich disciples of Paul? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Can we say Philemon was one of those three disciples of Paul? Yes, sir. So what was he known for? Philemon, who had money, was known for having money and giving it. Let me show you how you know that Philemon had money. Look at verse 9.
Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of what? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in. So was Onesimus the son of Paul? Was Onesimus the son of Paul? What is the meaning of Onesimus? I not that he was goats. What is the meaning of the name Onesimus? What's the meaning of Judas? It's a shade of praise, right? What's the meaning of your name? You know, when Yoruba say Oluwati Mileyin, then God push me for back. Is that what the meaning? Okay, Oluwati Mileyin. Oh, God back me. He pack me. Support. And that's it. Now, it's not push you from the back. If baby is walk, if your car stop on the road, you do not Mileyin. Want to call people to push you from the back, and God supports you now. Yeah. So, what's the meaning of Onesimus? Onesimus means useful. What Onesimus? Onesimus means to be useful. Now, let me show you something very important. The word there, Onesimus, means to be useful, to be profitable. Are we together? So, Paul says, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee. Check the Bible. Look at verse 11. Which in time past was in thee what? So Onesimus, whose name means profitability, was unprofitable. Did you get that? So, in time past, it was unprofitable to thee, but now is what? Profitable to thee and to me. Are we together? Now, so Onesimus got saved under Paul. Is that true? Onesimus was once a servant of Philemon. Is that true? So look at it this way. Onesimus, a servant of Philemon, did not do well, and Philemon sent him away, or he ran away, or he went away. Just leave it there. Are we together? So in living away, he met with Paul in the prison. Are we here? Yes, and now, what is Paul now saying? Paul said, I begot him in my bonds. That means Onesimus became born again under what? Paul's teaching. Now look at verse 13. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. That means Paul could use Onesimus for what he could use Philemon for. Are we here? Please don't lose track of what we are teaching today. We'll be done in the next few minutes, okay? Okay? Beautiful. So, look at verse 14. But without thy mind will I do nothing, that the benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but what? So, perhaps he therefore departed for a what? Season, that thou shouldest receive him for. Do you suppose Onesimus, who was not profitable, did something wrong to Philemon? Do you suppose what Paul is telling Philemon is to receive Onesimus back? Look at that again. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 15. Verse 16. Remember verse 15 says, receive him forever, someone who has departed for a season. Look at verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. So receive a man who was once your servant, now as a what? Brother beloved. Specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Was Philemon the spiritual son of Paul? Was Paul the spiritual father of Philemon? How did Paul see Philemon? As a brother and a partner in the gospel. How did Paul see Onesimus? As a servant who went away for a season from Philemon and became useful to Paul. What is Paul now doing? Telling Philemon to see one who was once a servant that ran away, now as a what? Brother, for profitability's sake in the work of the ministry. Are we together? Look at verse 17 again. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Verse 18, if he had wronged thee. Amen. Amen. If he had wronged thee or owed thee, put that on my what? You know when pastor say put that on my account, forget it though. When pastor say put it on my account,
Forget it, though. Did you understand that? So when he says, if he is owing you, charge it to my account. See, let me show you how that's what Paul meant. Look at verse 19. He says, I, Paul, I have written this with my own hand. I will repay it. Okay, be careful. Be careful. Don't look at the I'll be it first. Jump. Just pay attention to the one where he said, the Paul said he will repay it. He said he will repay it too. But see what Paul did. I'll be it. I do not say to thee how thou wears me. Uh-huh. What is he doing? He's reminding Philemon, you too, you know you owe me. You see that? Oh, forget it. Anything, if it's 1 billion, forget it. I will pay it. He would have beat his chest. You see, beating his chest means I wrote it with my hand. That's what he says now. I, Paul, wrote it with my own hand. So I will repay it, can be seen as a figure. Because, see, how be it, I do not say to thee how thou owest me, even thy own self. That means Philemon owed Paul his life. Eh? You are supposed to pay me your life. The same way you are supposed to pay me your life. Just take this brother as a former servant to be your what? Brother. Let's just leave it there. So I know Ojoro cancel what? Ojoro, bad debt, cancel bad debt. Hallelujah. He now says what? But this is where we are going to the crux of this teaching. See what it says? It says, verse 20, yeah, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. How was Philemon refreshing the bowels of the saints in verse 1 to verse 10? In his love work to the saints. What is Paul now telling Philemon? Look at verse 21, please. May your pastor be able to say this about you. Look at verse 21. 1, 2, 3, go. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Let your pastor be able to say that about you. Praise God. Praise God. What is Paul saying? Yes, I have the confidence in you that you will acknowledge all those things found in Christ and walk in love towards this man who has done evil to you. Are we together? One who wasn't profitable. See what he now says. But without, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Are we together? Dear, salute thee, Epaphras. Are we together? So, what is Paul doing? Paul reminds him of what Paul first reminds Philemon of what Philemon owes Paul. Then now says, okay, no matter what Onesimus owes you, I will repay it. Are we together? So, what is he now saying? This Onesimus, who was once not unprofitable, is now profitable. Amen. Take him not as a servant, but as a brother. Are we together? He now says, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. Now, shall I tell you one very interesting thing? The highlight of the letter of Philemon was in the fact that he sent Onesimus to deliver the letter to Philemon. Do you get that? Who wrote the letter? Philemon, Paul. Who was the delivery man to Philemon? One who Philemon must have seen as an unprofitable. Oh, gracious Father. Do you know what it means? It means that Paul trusts that Philemon will see Onesimus and not ask his guards to bundle him and put him in the cell. Remember, Philemon had not, by the time he will read the letter, he must first collect it from Onesimus. First, Paul sent the letter through Onesimus. That's why he now tells you. Go back to verse 4. So, could Philemon have said that, oh, I've forgiven Onesimus? Could Philemon have said? You see, Philemon is one of the most, is a very loving letter. In all the thing we read, did you see his blood? Did you see redemption? Did you see forgiveness? But yet teaches you the practicality of the blood. Teaches you the practicality of forgiveness. Now, is it possible Philemon said, you know what? You know I was saying something. Sometimes when you want to put your boundary against some people who did evil to you, you are what? Preserving yourself in the cooler while you grow. What do you suppose? Do you suppose that Philemon would have said, I've forgiven Onesimus? Is it possible? But how do you know he has really forgiven?
in the reconciliation. So it means that forgiveness without reconciliation is not taught by Christ. Forgiveness that doesn't have reconciliation is not taught by Christ. It's not taught in scriptures by the apostles. Because, let me allow you to write that. Forgiveness without reconciliation is not taught in scriptures. So how do we know the true forgiveness? We see it in what? Being able to what? Reconcile. Trained relationships. How do you do that? You who thinks you are still sound in God's word, you will heap coals of fire on that what? Person's head. Let me ask you a question. In the forgiveness that we have in God, what does it come with? Reconciliation. So if we are saying that the forgiveness God gives to mankind is a template for us to forgive, it means that the template of forgiveness that God teaches is the forgiveness that comes with reconciliation. Are we together? That's why you think, you see what? Paul will now send the letter. He will send it. So it means that in God's forgiveness, we have what? Reconciliation. In God's forgiveness, we have what? Fellowship. In God's forgiveness, we have what? Communion. Hold on. Hold your thoughts there. Before you continue in Philemon, go to Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender. Do you know it takes a tender-hearted man to reconcile with someone who has done evil to him? Are we together? It takes a tender-hearted man to reconcile with one, to still be able to be found in the same space with one who has done evil with him. So he says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. So it means that if God says to me, I should forgive you, and God says to you to forgive me, but you don't forgive me, what is God expecting from me? To forgive you. Colossians 3:13. See what it says carefully. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing what? Forbearing one another. I mean, forgiving what? One another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. So also what? Do ye, or ye do. Hallelujah. Back to Philemon. Look at Philemon. So, Philemon was one who Onesimus wasn't profitable to. Onesimus, on his long journey, got saved under Paul. And what did Paul do? Paul now say, imagine, Paul would have been in prison. Onesimus was like, I used to work for that man, Philemon. Paul now say, Philemon, I have confidence in him that if he says he forgives you, he will reconcile with you. Let me prove that to you. Take this letter and go and give him such confidence. That, you see, that's why Paul started with the letter. He first of all started with, say, I've heard of thy faith and thy love towards Jesus. Blessed be God. I mean towards the saints. And because of what I hear, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you, that what? The communication of thy faith. Hallelujah. The supply, the fellowship, the sharing of thy faith may become effectual, that's more active, right? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul teaching? That despite I know your love, I will still pray for you that your love fails not. But in the real sense of praying for you, it is for you to acknowledge. The word acknowledge means to have a precise, accurate understanding. We're together. To have a comprehensive, the word epignosis, that you might understand, have acknowledged all that is in you in Christ. So it means that you have the ability to forgive. Are we together? It means that you have the ability to forgive. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them. What did Paul now say? He says, heap coals of fire on their head. One would have thought coals of fire means to go and burn fire. So anywhere they are passing, to just catch them. Or send fire to their domots. But what does he say? Heap coals of fire. How do you heap coals of fire? By feeding them when they are hungry. Let me ask you a question. Is it as easy as it sounds? No. If you are saying it's easy, that means they've not really done you evil. Are you here? Are we here? But the fact that it's not easy doesn't mean it is impossible. Are we together? So what do you pay attention to by the act? That's why we pray on, that's why we pray on Sundays, that your communication with your faith may be what? Effectual by the what? Acknowledging the epignosis, having comprehensive understanding of every. Because it takes having an understanding of every in you to yet walk more in more, yet walk in love more and more. Hallelujah. So who is that person that must have done evil to you? Who is that person that must have stabbed you at the back? Who is that person that, you know, at the mention of his name, at the mention of her name, every, praise God, hallelujah, what does scripture expect from you? So if Jesus can do it, you can do it. Hallelujah. If Jesus can do it, you can do it. So God is the chief love worker. Even when you were going astray, he died for you in hope. Look at it. When we were not born again, what happened? We were going astray. What did God do to bring us back? He was heaping coals of fire on our head. What does that mean? He supplies forgiveness. What changed you? The forgiveness he supplies. Did you get that? What changed you? It is the forgiveness that he supplies that changed you. So in your mind, you are thinking, this man that has done this evil, how can he say I should be walking, I should be heaping love upon him? Think about yourself. You were once like him. Because remember, evil, everybody in evil does not there's no degree of evil. A man that kills 5 billion people and a man that kills only one person. Let me tell you something. A man that kills 5 billion people and a man that stabbed somebody that did not die immediately, but the man died 5 weeks after. You are the same. I hope you know. A man that lies to collect contract of 1 billion and a man that lies to collect contract of Akara 10,000, you are the same. So it means that in the love of God, we see an example to follow. Say, I'm a love being. Say, I forgive easily. Say, I forgive easily. Think about it. Even your day relationship with your colleagues, with your friends, with your husbands, those of you that are married, your husbands, your wife, those of you that are not married, your brothers, your sisters. Think about it. Sometimes you just look at your the person that you were born together after, even we are twins, and you want to just slap them. But what happens? Let the acknowledging of what God has done for you lead you. You know, like I would always say, emotions are better followers, but they are bad leaders. Are we together? Emotions are better followers, but they are what? Bad leaders. Have they broken your heart before? If the answer is yes, what happens? Let a fellow believer be able to say what Paul said about Philemon. What did he say? I have confidence in him. Kai, I'm sure that this brother, no matter what happened, he will forgive. I'm sure that this brother will walk according to that which he has received. For you see, the real love work is found when people do evil that is evil to you. You know, there's a difference between evil. And the difference between evil and evil that is evil. You don't know. There's some evils that are evil. And there's evil, but they are all what? Evil. So no matter the degree, what does scripture teach? We look at our Father, which has given a template, and we'll follow suit. I want us to spend time and pray this morning. Just take out a few minutes and pray deliberately.